Good evening. It's Rabbi Mayevsky. This week we read the Parshas Kisavo, which of course the lion's portion of the Parsha has to do with the Tochacha, the rebuke, and his different opinions about what the rebuke is all about. But I entitled this week, Crossing the Jordan River. And what I mean by that is what the Parsha begins with is something very interesting. We've had that phrase so many times previous to this. But Moshe is now telling them the things that they will be responsible immediately upon coming into the land. Of course, we know there are a lot of mitzvos that are tluyos ba'aretz, but at this point in time, there are certain things that we will have to do rather quickly upon entering the land. We cross the Jordan River, and now everything in your life changes. And among them is, of course, Vakimoso Lechav Onim Gedolos, Vesadato Sambasid, which we'll get to in a few minutes. But the parasha begins with the Bikurim, but it's not only the Bikurim, but it has to do with all the types of obligations that one incurs, whether it's Maisa Rishon, Truma, Maisa Sheni, Leket, Shikon, Peya, Lager, Layason, Valmano, all the tzedakas that you have to give. And when you come to the Beis HaMikdash to redeem all your pledges and all your taxes that you're required to do over the course of a year, you have to make the declaration. And what is very strange is normally under certain things that we do, we have for certain mitzvahs, we have a bracha. A lot of times we don't have a bracha. Certainly when we give tzedakah, we don't have a bracha because there's no set amount. But this is very interesting because actually this is the third parsha in a row. We're beginning with Shoftim and Kiseitze and Kitzavo, where the Gemara tells us that anytime we have a double Lashon, as we do Vianu, Viamru, Losho, at the end of Shoftim, when it says Vianu, Viamru, Yodenu, Loshof, Kues, Adam, Azeh, the pasuk, the phrase, the whole paragraph that is in Parsha Shoftim, they have to read it in Hebrew. Many things that we are required to do, if we don't understand the Hebrew, we could read it in English. When we say Shema Yisrael, if you can't read Hebrew, you could say it in English. But when it says, the Gemara points out, since it says V'yonu V'yomru, Yodenu Lo Shofku Es Adam Azeh, that's the double Lashon, V'yonu V'yomru, we have to say the whole Parsha in Hebrew. And in last week's parsha, by V'yonso V'yomro, Kocho Yeoselo Ish, Asher Lo Yivnez Be'sochiv. And in this week's parsha, we have B'Bikurim, V'yoniso V'yomarto Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. What's different about these mitzvahs of coming and redeeming your obligations at the time of the year, actually, one has an entire year to redeem his pledges. And what the Abarbanel points out, that it's not just the Abarbanel, of course, but on Pesach is when we come to redeem all our pledges over the year. We have this obligation, but strangely enough, we have to say this long liturgy, the litany of what it says in the parsha here. We have to go through and say all these psukim, which is quite a bit, before as we're giving all the tzedakah, redeeming all our pledges that heretofore we have not done as yet. And now we're redeeming ourselves and making all these declarations. And why is that in particular? Well, on one point of view, it is very simple that if I would borrow $500 from somebody and I would want to pay him back, or if I bought something and incurred a debt of I'm buying something, I'm buying a car and it cost me $15,000, $20,000, $30,000, until I pay out the exact $30,000, there's someone on the receiving end who's counting the money that I'm giving him. I give him $500. If I give him $490, he says, you still owe me $10 more. But the interesting thing about all the mitzvos that one is chayev to bring in terms of fulfilling his obligation of trumas and maestras, maestras sheni, maestras risho, maestras ani, and bikurim, all these things that one is required to do, there is no one on the receiving end except for God, and he's not there visible, and nobody is counting the money but God, and nobody sees exactly what you're giving. So you could shortchange somebody on the other end, you could shortchange HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Kohen who's receiving all these things, and you're saying it with a big smile, look what all I'm giving you, I'm paying you my 10%, I'm giving you my 2%, and you're doing all, you're fulfilling your obligations, but in reality, you're shortchanging. Nobody is there to say, I'm sorry, but you owe me another $10. Your figures for this year, somebody's doing the accounting on your property, and you didn't give enough lekka chitfon peya. You didn't do this or you didn't do that. There's nobody on the other end. So how does one keep score? How is one is going to make somebody do that? And the answer is very simple. If I begin what the Torah is telling us to do right now, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do now, is to remember from the time that we left Mitzrayim, from even the time before that, going back to the very beginning when we're saying Arami Oved Avi, because Arami, not even going back to Avraham or Yitzhak, but Arami Oved Avi is the linchpin for all the events that happened going down to Mitzrayim, for whatever it was, the however the story came about. He was the cause of everything from the beginning. And when we, after the 210 years, that we were finally redeemed, and God did so many things for us to get us to this point, the 40 years in the Midbar, the Makos, the crossing of the Yamsuf and the Mun, we're reminding ourselves of all the things that one is required, what one that God has done for us. And that hopefully will spur the person at the point of time when he's giving to give a second thought and saying, am I really giving, fulfilling my obligation? Am I really giving an accurate count of 10%? Am I cheating God? Am I giving him only 8%? Am I giving him only 9%? Who is to know? There's nobody on the other end. So what I have to do is go through this whole litany of things, reminding ourselves. And what it reminds me of is some years ago, it's at least 20 years ago, when I was doing one of the, unfortunately, in Shtugadak, when I was doing a funeral. And as before the ceremony began and everybody is in the room, and I was listening to this, this woman had a few daughters, and one of the daughters was recounting to her friends about all the things, all the tzoras that she went through in her life growing up, until she got to this point, and her mother was always there for her and did everything possible for her. And then she was recounting all the amazing things that her mother stuck her neck out, and the expenditures of the money, and how her mother backed her in every single point in her life that she could probably, you know, every crossroads, her mother was always there for her. And then when it came time for her to tear kriya, she said, oh, no, I want to wear a ribbon. Now, generally speaking, before the funeral, I always tell everybody to please remind yourself not to wear your fanciest clothing, because you're going to lose it. You're going to tear kriya, and you're going to lose either that dress or a suit. It's not going to be able to be worn again. So be careful what you wear to the funeral. And this woman, whatever it is, she did not pay attention. She wore a very expensive dress. And when I said I was about to give the blade to another woman to tear kriya for her, she said, no. I said, so I was just standing by here waiting for you. And for 15 minutes, I was listening to you tell your friends how much your mother did for her and all the things that she went through, all the sacrifices that they made in your life. And you won't sacrifice even one dress for her? And she was stunned at the moment, and she still refused. And thank God, at least at that moment, her husband said to me, don't worry, she will tear kriya. I'll make sure that she does. And sure enough, that's what happened. But it just goes to show you how people, when willing to take, and God has done so many things. We see what goes on in the world, how difficult it is to survive as Jews, being Shomer Torah mitzvos, all of the nisyonos that we have to go through in life, not working Shabbos, not working Yontif, going through many years ago when people couldn't get a job because they had to work on Shabbos or couldn't leave early enough on Friday and had to refuse a job or getting fired. God got you here, those people who came to America and were saved from the Nazis, who were saved from World War II. Do we fully appreciate when it comes time to give Maisa and Truma and Bikurim, Are we giving our full share? Are we giving our rightful share? Or are we shortchanging HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Vayaki Savoa La'aretz. When you cross this line, when you cross the Jordan River, remind yourself that everything that I go through at this point in time is to remind me I have to read all these points all the way going back to Arami, Oved Ovi, Osisi Kechol Asher Tzivisani. I have fulfilled all my obligations. I have done everything that God has asked of me, and that I've done everything. Biarti HaKodesh Min HaBayis. I have nothing left in my house that is Kodesh. I have fulfilled all my obligations. Now, how does one remind ourselves on a day in and day out basis? And what the Torah tells us, something that's very interesting, and the Gemara leaves it with a very unfulfilled explanation, and it's a machlokis. It says, when we cross the Jordan River, it says, Vahakemoso lechavonim gedolos v'sadato osom basid. And it leaves us with the impression, so we take these boulders. Obviously, it has to be some very large stones, literally would be boulders that they took from the bottom of the Jordan River. And when they finally got them out of the river, now they have to etch the Torah as Kol Divrei HaTorah Azos BiAvrecha, all of the Torah. The Gemara doesn't know for sure if it means the entire Torah on it, but to etch it, and then V'sadato Osom Basid. The question in the Gemara is, of course, a very major one. Do I first etch it and then cover it with lime? Or do I cover it with lime and then etch the words of the Torah on it? The difference being a very great one. If I pour the sid on it, it makes it sound like first it says, es kol divrei HaTorah hazos v'sadato osom basid. The first thing, the order of what you do is to etch the stone, and then to scratch out the stone, chisel out the words of the Torah on the stone, and then cover it with lime. The problem with that is, if I cover it with lime after I engrave it, then I will be covering up all the words, and I won't be able to read it. And so what good is it? And if I do put on the lime first, that's going against, which would make seemingly certainly more sense, but then it would seem to be a difficult situation because it says to etch it first. Of course, a great answer would be sometimes if you would be able to see the etching, if it's really engraved deeply, when you pour the lime on it, you'd still be able to see the letters. But that is, the Gemara leaves that with a very difficult situation. But the answer is really, truly very simple. It's not for you to see those words. When you engrave something, when you literally chisel something out of stone, and then when are you going to see those stones? It says, where do you put it? Vahare Vol. You put it on the mountain. Are you going to climb Hare Vol to look at them? No, but the point is to see it there. What is the importance of having the stones that come from the Jordan River? Because you know how else, it's a reminder, how else could those stones have been on Hare Vol? Those stones, how did you get them from the river? The only way I could have gotten them out of the river, there were no deep sea divers over here to go dive into the Jordan River and then finally roll them out of the stone. That would be impossible. So obviously the sea had to split, the Yarden had to split. And that's my proof of the great miracle of the crossing of the Yarden. Those stones are a reminder that God did something else for us across the Jordan River. The next question would be, and you put it on Hare Vol, where it's there, but where do we put it? It's not like we have the Statue of Liberty inside, far from the borders of the United States, or we have the arches in St. Louis, the arches there, or some great structures that we see in Mount Rushmore in the middle of the United States as a great symbol of this country to remind us of our greatness. We have it on the border. This is something that you will see if you attempt to leave. I don't need it to be in Yerushalayim, in Midtown Square. I want it on the border. so that you see it if you choose ever to leave the land. If you go outside the borders of Eretz Israel, it will always reminding you, it's always there to remind you what you're leaving behind. These are the stones that remind you that God worked so hard to give you this land. Why am I leaving? If I'm leaving, it's a dangerous thing. Another point, of course, is I'm putting it on a harevul for one very simple thing. The shvatim that were told to stand on harevul, Reuven, Gad, Yosher, and the other three tribes, why were they asked to, they may feel slighted by being asked to stand on harevul, but they would have this point of saying, but we know that these great stones, these great boulders, as a means to mollify the feelings of these shvatim, these six shvatim that were told to stand on harevul, where the curses would be, then they would have, at least on their mountain, on these stones. But it's not as if I would go climbing the mountains. I would never really get to see it, because it's not like the Arch of Titus, where I'm showing off the greatness of my country. I want you to just see the stones and know what's written on it. The same way when we make all the brachas, when we read, when we give the bikurim, anytime we give tzedakah, we remind ourselves that the only reason we have the capabilities, that we have the finances, that we've come this far, that we made it to Eretz Yisrael, was because of God's munificence of leading us 40 years in the Midbar. Lechem lo achaltem umayim. We never had any water. We subsisted on water from a rock and mun and all the other miracles that we had. Lo valus al mosechem v'al ragleichem. V'nalcho lo v'lchom v'al raglecho. We subsisted all the years with the good graces of God. And this is what the upcoming Yontif is all about. The Torah actually never mentions the word Rosh Hashanah. Is something that is never mentioned in the Torah one time. It just tells us that we have to bring certain karbonas. The only thing that we know from the Torah about Rosh Hashanah that sets it apart was blowing shofar. There was no davening when we came into Eretz Israel. Rosh Hashanah, when if you didn't live in Yerushalayim, you were in those days, of course, there wasn't even a Yerushalayim. But even after the Beis HaMikdash, there was no davening per se, that you would hear the shofar only in your town. So what was davening all about? There was no davening like we have it in shul. It's a day of reflection and karbonos, which you didn't even get to see if you weren't near the Beis HaMikdash. We blew that shofar. That is our reminder of all the things that God, it's a wake-up call to remind ourselves all the things that God has done for us. And therefore, V'yoniso V'yomarto Lifnei Hashem Elokecha Arami Oved Ovi V'yered Mitzrayma. We started from nothing. We ended up in slavery for 210 years. We finally made it out under the good graces of God. We had the 10 Nisyon, the 10 Makos, the crossing of the Red Sea, and finally we had to live 40 years in the Midbar. We made it, and we crossed the Jordan River, and I could see those stones. I look at those stones, and how did we get those stones? Obviously, that reminds me that the Jordan River had to split, otherwise those boulders could never have come out of the river. And I look at that, and I'm looking and I'm saying, I'm willing to fulfill my obligation, to give my full 10%, to give my full 2%, to give the Maaser Rishon, to give the Maaser Oni, to give the Leket Shichron Payoff, to fulfill all my mitzvos. May we all be Zocha to fulfill all our obligations, and may this year be a year of Bracha. Have a good Shabbos. And all the klalos in this sedra, may they all turn into brachos. Have a good week. Thank you.